Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
You might remember the little the video clip that we showed about being grateful at Christmas time. Do you remember that one? Yes. Guy wakes up and he's like, you know, super excited about all the things, because everything like in his home has been wrapped up. So he's got like his wife is wrapped up in paper, and he unwraps, and like his wife is a Christmas present, and his kids come out and they're wrapped up in paper, and you know, the light switches and the running water and all the things that he's being thankful for. And it was a great little video clip that reminds us to be thankful for a lot of the stuff that we have that often we take for granted. And I want to just pick up that idea a little bit more. We were talking about the 10th commandment that day, which was about not desiring or coveting the things that other people have. But I want to kind of focus a little bit more on a little bit of a, just more on the gratefulness aspect this morning. So the message today is the second part of our Christmas Is, and it's Christmas Is being grateful. So today, here it is. I'm sharing with you the secret to having a great Christmas, to having a joyful Christmas, to having a merry Christmas, to having a happy Christmas. And this really is one of the things that I think so often we see, that people who are grateful are happy people. Have you ever observed that? Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes I think we think that it's happy people who've got everything going for them that, you know, like that have more to be grateful for. But I think it kind of is the other way around, that people who choose to be grateful for the things that they have, choose to be thankful, end up with the kind of heart that is filled with joy and with happiness. Now, Christmas is often kind of the time of the year when we're tempted to think about two things. And these two things, firstly, we're tempted to think about what we want. Okay, now this is a pretty natural kind of thing when we're talking about, you know, a season where our traditions are very much based around giving and receiving. And so it's very natural for our brains to go, if somebody gets me a Christmas gift, you know, what would I like? You know, and we see lots of posts on Facebook, you know, like if anyone's thinking of getting me a Christmas gift, my size is, you know, palatial mansion in the south of Spain, or things like that, or, you know, that brand new car or whatever it is, you know, my size is BMW, you know. But Christmas is often a time when we think about what we would like to receive. So that's the first one. We start thinking about what we want, but we also start thinking about, there's a temptation to begin to think about what we don't have or what we lack. And often for a lot of people, Christmas is about being reminded of the things that we don't have, the people that we don't get to share it with, the things that we don't or things that we can't afford, or the things that we're missing out on. I don't know if you've ever met somebody like this. I think probably many of us know somebody who, you know, it doesn't matter what they have or what they don't have, they'd find something to complain about. You know, they could win the lottery and they'd complain about how much tax they had to pay. You know, you could give them a free Christmas ham and they'd complain that it wasn't the double smoked kind that they really like, but they'll just have to make do, you know. But it's kind of the moan, moan, complain, complain. I've always got something to be unhappy about. Can't afford my favourite booze this year. I don't know, whatever it is. You know, I've got to settle for the brand that we don't like. I don't know, whatever it might be. Anyone ever met anybody like that? Yeah. Not in our church, of course, but, you know, out there in the world. Here's a little picture that I found. Some people are always grumbling because roses have thorns. I'm thankful that thorns have roses. You know, and often it is. It's about how we choose to look at things, isn't it? That makes a big difference. We can see, you know, we can see the thorns or we can see the roses. Here's a little exercise that maybe we can just do for a couple of minutes. So would you all just kind of stand up with me for a minute? Can we do that? You've had a couple of minutes to sit down. Let's stand up. You can do it. Come on. I know you can. That's it. It's good. Stretch. One, two, three. I won't make you do aerobics or anything. But okay, so now I'd like you to sit down if you have somebody that you're going to share Christmas with. Oh, there we go. I didn't need to get to anymore, did I? So here's one thing that we can all be thankful for. We've all got people that we're sharing Christmas with. Okay, stand up again. Okay. Sit down if you are fairly confident that somebody will give you a Christmas gift this year. Joseph's not too sure. Some of you are not too sure. That's okay. That's all right. Okay. For those of you who are still... No, that's all right. That's all right. Stay standing. Okay. All right. Sit down then. All right. Probably there's a lot of us that we can look at. We can go, okay, you know, how many of us are probably going to have something special for a Christmas dinner? All right, probably most of us. How many of us are going to have a roof over our head this Christmas? You know, I think we could probably all say. So there's all these kinds of things. We could go on and we could go on and we could go on about all the things that we actually have to be thankful for. Ephesians 5 verse 20 says to give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a really interesting verse because of that one word that I've underlined. It's not actually underlined in the Bible. You might have noticed that. But I underlined it because I want to draw our attention to this, that it actually says give thanks for everything. Okay. Now, this is sometimes a difficult thing, isn't it? Sometimes there are things in my life that I find it really difficult to be thankful for. But Paul, he's kind of writing it, and all through Paul's letters, all through Paul's, what he's writing to the churches. Now, some of these are churches that are pretty messed up. Okay, you consider churches like the church at Corinth, where he says, well, you know, one of the specific things he says, you know, someone is, you know, having intimate relationships with his father's wife, and he says, you're all okay with that. Okay, this is a church where things are a little bit messed up. Okay, but he writes again and again and again about how he is thankful for them. Let's just look at a few. I've got a few examples here. When he writes to the church at Rome, okay, he says, let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. This is the Corinthian church, right? The one we just talked about, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4. He starts off this letter, and this is a letter where he's writing, and he really gets stuck into them about a lot of stuff that they're doing right in the letter of 1 Corinthians. If you've ever read it, you know, this is the one where he gives them a hard time about sexual immorality. He gives them a hard time about the whole communion stuff is in there, about how some are feasting and getting drunk and others are poor and going hungry. And he's really addressing a lot of serious stuff. But he starts off this letter saying, I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Ephesians, he says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. What about Philippians? Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Okay, I had other examples, but you get the idea. All right, you can read on. There's Colossians, Thessalonians. This same kind of theme comes up time and time again. He says, I am demonstrating to you how to be thankful. And one of the most repeated encouragements or exhortations that Paul gives to these churches that he's writing to is to be thankful. And we can find verse after verse after verse where Paul not only says, hey, I thank God for you, but he says, I encourage you to thank God for all the things that you've got as well. In Paul's letters, this is one of the most repeated statements, one of the most repeated encouragements, one of the things that he urges them over and over and over again. I think partly he's so repetitious in this encouragement because he knows our human nature. He knows how easy it is for us to take things for granted, how easy it is for us to see things with a negative kind of frame of mind, to look at and focus on the things that we lack rather than the things that we have. So why is Paul so obviously he knows how easy it is for us to get into that frame of negative thinking, but why is it that this kind of this mentality of thankfulness is so important? I just want to suggest a few little reasons, and you could probably come up with more. Encourage you to do that. That's fantastic. You know, if you go home and, you know, think about how important it is for us to be thankful, that's a great thing. All right, but I'm going to give you a few suggestions to get you started. Number one is that thankfulness and gratitude actually helps us to be content with what we have. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago specifically. Thankfulness is not the same as contentment, is it? We can be content with what we have in that we don't desire more without actually being thankful for what we have. They're related, and thankfulness, as we mentioned before, certainly helps us to be content because we're focused on all the things that we have, but there's slightly different kinds of things. Thankfulness actually helps us to be content. When our eyes are busy counting up all the blessings that we've been given, we start to our mind starts to add up all of those things, and we start to feel like, I don't know if you've ever done this as an exercise. You know, this is sometimes a really good thing to do, is to start to list off all of the things that you have that you've got to be thankful for. You know, just like that guy in that little video, and little things like that sometimes help us. But I don't know if you've ever actually taken that away and gone, I'm going to make a list. You know, some people like to make lists. I'm not a big list maker, but, you know, you start thinking through all the things in your head. You know, who are the people in my life who care about me? Do I have a home? Do I have a car? Do I have a job? Do I have money in the bank? Do I have food in the fridge? Do I have electricity that makes my fridge work? Do I have water to shower in? Do I have, you know, and you can go on, you know, on and on and on and on and on. And I won't go on and on and on too much, hopefully. Number two, Mary's grateful. Number two, thankfulness helps us to acknowledge the source. Thankfulness helps us to acknowledge where the things that we have in our life have actually come from, doesn't it? When we actually thank somebody for a gift, we are acknowledging to ourselves and to that person that that was a gift from them. When we acknowledge and when we are thankful to God, when we start to give thanks to God for the blessings that He's given to us, then we actually start to remind ourselves and give credit to God for the things that He's actually done for us. And we remind ourselves that those things are actually gifts from God. In James chapter 1, verse 17, he says, every good and perfect gift, not every gift, but all the good and perfect ones, they are from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James says, you know, the stuff in your life that is actually of real significant value, the good and perfect gifts, everything that is perfect, everything that is lovely, everything that is holy, everything that is, you know, all these kind of spiritual blessings, all these things in your life that are of God, they come from God. And he encourages us to have that mentality of going, let's actually, you know, give credit to God for where the good stuff in our life is coming from. Number three, thankfulness is important because it helps us trust God to provide. When we acknowledge, when we start to think on all of the things that God has actually provided for us, all of the blessings that we have for God, then it builds our faith because we go, well, if God has provided me this when I needed it, and God has provided me this, and God has provided me this, then when I need this, then God's probably going to provide that too. When we simply focus on what we don't have and we forget all of the other stuff that God's already done for us, and we simply go, here's an area where I don't have something and I don't know where it's coming from, we tend to fall much more easily into the trap of going, I'm not sure if God's going to provide for me. And if in those moments we can take a step back and we can start to reflect on, you know, well, you know, God's provided for me. God's given me a house. God's given me an awesome family. God's provided me a car. God, you know, I've got food on my table. God's given me, you know, all these spiritual blessings. Then when I have this trouble, you know, it kind of makes more sense, doesn't it? And it builds us up and encourages us. All right, and number four, being thankful helps us to be generous. Have you ever noticed that? It's far more easy to be generous when we feel like we've got plenty, isn't it? It's far more easy to give out something to somebody else when we feel like we've been given heaps of stuff already. And as we begin to focus on what God has given us, as we begin to focus on the things that God has blessed us with, then we begin to feel more like we've got a lot. We start to see with those eyes of how truly blessed we are, and it helps us to be more generous because we're more aware of our abundance. I want to tell you a little story. It comes from this book. I mentioned this one a few weeks ago. This is actually from our church library. So if you're after an interesting, inspiring, true story to read, The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom. This is a little sort of slightly edited excerpt, a story that comes out of that. Now, this is a story about Corrie ten Boom is and her sister Betsy. They were courageous and compassionate Dutch Christians who helped to harbour Jews from the Nazis during World War II. And eventually they were arrested for doing that, and they were imprisoned at a place called Ravensbrück, which is a German concentration camp. In their barracks, they were shown to a series of massive square platforms, stacked three levels high, and placed so close together that people had to walk single file to pass between them. Rancid straw was scattered over the platforms, which served as communal beds for hundreds of women. Corrie and Betsy found they could not sit upright on their own platform without hitting their heads on the deck above them. They lay back, struggling against nausea that swept over them from the reeking straw. Suddenly, Corrie started up, striking her head on the cross slats above. Something had bitten her leg. "Fleas," she cried. "Betsy, the place is swarming with them." Descending from the platform and edging down a narrow aisle, they made their way to a patch of light. "Here, and here, another one," Corrie wailed. "Betsy, how can we live in such a place?" "Show us. Show us how," Betsy said matter-of-factly. It took Corrie a moment to realise that her sister was praying. "Corrie," Betsy then exclaimed excitedly, "he's given us the answer. Before we even asked, as he always does. In the Bible this morning, where was it? Read that part again." Corrie checked to make sure no guards were nearby, then drew from a pouch a small Bible she had managed to smuggle into the concentration camp. "It was in 1 Thessalonians," she said, finding the passage in the feeble light. "Here it is. Comfort the frightened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 to 18. "That's it," Betsy interrupted. "That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances." That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this barracks. Corrie stared at her incredulously, then around at the dark, foul-smelling room. "Such as?" she inquired. "Such as being assigned here together." Corrie bit her lip. "Oh yes, Lord Jesus." "Such as what you're holding in your hands." Corrie looked down at the Bible. "Yes. Thank you, dear Lord, that there was no inspection when we entered here. Thank you for all the women here in this room who will meet you in these pages." "Yes," agreed Betsy. "Thank you for the crowding here. Since we're packed so close, that many more will hear." She looked at her sister expectantly and prodded, "Corrie?" "Oh, all right. Thank you for the jammed, crammed, stuffed, packed, suffocating crowds." "Thank you," Betsy continued on serenely. "Thank you for the fleas and for..." Now, that was too much for Corrie. She cut in on her sister, "Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for the fleas." "Give thanks in all circumstances," Betsy corrected. "It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances." "Fleas are part of this place where God has put us." So they stood between the stacks of bunks and gave thanks for the fleas, though on that occasion Corrie was sure that Betsy was wrong. As the weeks passed, Betsy's health weakened to the point that rather than needing to go out on work duty each day, she was permitted to remain in the barracks and knit socks together with other seriously ill prisoners. She was a lightning-fast knitter and usually had her daily sock quota completed by noon. And as a result, she had hours each day she could spend moving from platform to platform, reading the Bible to fellow prisoners. She was able to do this undetected, as the guards never seemed to venture far into the barracks. One evening when Corrie arrived back at the barracks, Betsy's eyes were twinkling. "You're looking extraordinarily pleased with yourself," Corrie told her. "You know, we've never understood why we had so much freedom in the big room," Betsy said, referring to the part of the barracks where the sleeping platforms were. "Well, I found out. This afternoon there was some confusion in my knitting group about sock sizes, so we asked the supervisor to come and settle it, but she wouldn't. She wouldn't step through the door and neither would the guards. And you know why?" Betsy could not keep the triumph from her voice as she exclaimed, "Because of fleas." That's what she said. "That place is crawling with fleas." And Corrie's mind raced back to their first hour in the barracks. She remembered Betsy bowing her head and thanking God for creatures that Corrie could see no use for. Thanking God for the fleas, eh? That's a pretty challenging. I can't say I've ever been able to do that. But I wonder, like, probably not too many of us have to put up with fleas, or, you know, we've got animals or whatever. Occasionally it might be a problem, we just deal with it. But I wonder what are the things in our lives that are maybe your fleas. I started to think about what are the things that are my fleas. Not literally, but the things that I find it really difficult to actually be thankful for. And trying to find, you know, maybe some ways in which those things are really blessings and not simply annoyances. So here's a couple of suggestions from mine, and like I said before, I encourage you to think about what are the things in your life. So here's the first one that I've got, and maybe you can relate to this one. It's an electricity bill. Okay? Bills. Like, I'm not especially thankful when bills turn up in my letterbox. I don't know about you. Maybe you rejoice and say, "Woohoo, another bill." No, probably not. You know, but I started thinking, you know, having an electricity bill means that I have a house with electricity. Doesn't it? It means I've got lights that I can turn on and off when it's dark, and I've got a fridge that keeps my food fresh. And I've got a freezer, and I've got appliances and TV and music and a computer and all the kinds of things that run on electricity. And I start to think about, you know, without things like this, you know, we wouldn't enjoy all of those things. I'm not usually thankful about getting woken up in the morning by my alarm clock. I am not a morning person. Some of you leap out of bed in the morning and go, "Woohoo, another day." I'm like, "Ugh." You know, that's me in the morning, you know. It's like, but having to get up in the morning is a blessing, A, because it means I'm alive, for a start, that's one. B, because it means I've got a reason to get up. It means I've got a job to go to, which is a fantastic job and helps provide for my family and pay the bills. I don't know if you've ever been... Who of you here are responsible for, like, putting out the bins on bin day? A few of you are. Some of you, yep. So that's kind of one of the things that I'm responsible for at home. And every now and again, when I forget and you kind of get woken up at whatever time it is in the morning, Friday's our bin day, so I get woken up Friday, and by the sound of the truck, and you go, ah, darn it, I forgot to put the bin out. Thankfully, it doesn't happen very often, but, you know, I don't wake up being particularly thankful on those kind of days, you know. But the fact that we have a service that comes and takes away rubbish from the front of our house, we don't have to go and take it out to the tip, we don't have to try and deal with it or whatever, we can just put it out the front and someone comes and takes it away. What an awesome privilege that is. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's not very often I'm thankful for bin trucks, okay? But I'm being thankful for bin trucks today. All right. I'm not usually very thankful when the floor needs vacuuming. Okay, I'm not usually very thankful when we got to cook a meal for our family for dinner. Like I don't cook all the time, but I try and do it sort of once a week at least, or a couple of times a week sometimes if it's necessary. I'm not very thankful when there's stuff that needs cleaning and dishes that need doing. All right, how many of you love housework? No? No hands. I can't believe it. You think, oh, I've got a day off. Rightio. Oh, I've got all this housework I can do. Yay. No. Okay, we're not usually very thankful when stuff needs cleaning or, you know, whatever is the case. You know, it's chores. You go, oh, okay, well. But, you know, just like with the electricity bill, it means that we've got food in the fridge that we can prepare. It means that we've got a family to share it with. It means we've got a nice house that, you know, where we're comfortable, we're safe, we're warm in winter and cool in summer. We've got air conditioning and all those kind of things. You know, I could go on. There's lots of examples that I could give. There's a few of my fleas that I'm learning to be thankful for. Maybe you've got your own fleas. Now, it isn't always easy, right? Like, sometimes it can be really difficult to actually discipline ourselves to stop and go, hang on a minute, instead of being grumpy, instead of complaining about I've got to do this or I've got to do that, how can I be thankful? It doesn't always come naturally, but it is something that we can train our mind to do. We can train our thought patterns with God's help, you know. We used to have a little banner up on the wall that says, "Let your mind be, life be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Somebody's calling me during church. Who on earth that would be, I don't know. And so there is this principle in Scripture that we can allow God to transform and change our thinking patterns, our thought patterns, and the way that we view stuff. All right. So the Christmas story. I want to kind of come to the Christmas story a little bit here and just think on this for a moment. Joseph and Mary. Okay, we start at the beginning. We've got Mary with this, you know, strange, it's not really any other word for it, it's not normal pregnancy. Okay? We've got this very unusual circumstances. We've got this unplanned thing. Mary was not sitting around planning this as a child. You know, this isn't what she thought things were going to go. But when we see, there's this great little passage in Luke chapter 1 when Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth, and there's this little bit of this song, this praise that bursts out of her. And I want to just share the first couple of verses with you. It says, Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me." That sounds like a person who is finding ways to be thankful. This is a person who has this heart of gratitude and thankfulness in the midst of something which we may not necessarily have thought, you know, was a wonderful thing to happen to us. And we go on, like we know the Christmas story. Like there's this long journey. Mary's pregnant. You know, it wasn't a comfortable car ride or airplane ride or whatever the case may be. They get there and all the conditions around the birth of Jesus, lowly, pretty unsanitary, not ideal conditions for having a baby, right? And we think, you know, if this was any one of us today, we would probably be fairly miserable. We'd be complaining, we'd be moaning, we'd be going, oh, how could this happen? Why didn't anyone save me a room, or, you know, all those kinds of things. And I kind of think, you know, we don't get a great deal of insight in Scripture as to how Mary was thinking or how Joseph was thinking, but I'd like to think, and part of me, you know, suspects that there was a big part of them which chose to be thankful. They had family who cared about them. They had a safe place to sleep, even if it wasn't a 5-star resort. At least they were safe. They weren't stranded out in the wilderness somewhere where they were vulnerable to wild animal attacks or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. And, you know, there was probably animals around, right? And you think, well, you know, what is there to be thankful about having animals around when you're giving birth to a baby, right? At least it was warm, right? You know, if there's animals around, chances are they weren't cold. You know, they had each other. They were healthy. The baby was born. They were blessed with a beautiful, healthy baby boy. I don't know for sure what they were thinking, but I like to think that they were focused on some of those things, on giving thanks for, you know, the safe delivery of their baby who would one day grow up to be the Saviour. And Christmas time is a time to remember and to reflect. It's great for us to reflect on the things that we have to be thankful for. And most importantly, we have things in Christ. With the whole story of Christ coming as a baby, we have this to be thankful for. That because our Saviour came, that our sins have been forgiven. We've been washed clean. We've been made new and reborn into God's family. We've been given incredible riches and blessings in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, last scripture for this morning. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. This is what we are heirs to. This is what is our inheritance. This is what we've been given when we receive Christ. When we are joined together with Christ, we are given every blessing, every spiritual blessing. Now, I don't even know what most of them are, but I'm grateful for them all the same. We are heirs of everything that Christ is heir to. Everything that Jesus earned, everything that is his, is also ours. And when we have that mindset, when we start to dwell on that, even for just a moment, we begin to be impressed at how much we have, don't we? We begin to go, wow, you know, that's a lot. That's significant. That's important. That is meaningful. That is not something to just simply sneeze at. Finally, my last words for this morning come from the Grinch. The Christmas story. Dr. Seuss, okay. Now this is the moment of revelation that he has at the end. He says, maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. This Christmas, I want to challenge us to think about what really matters, what's really important, what we've been given, how much we've been blessed, to thank God even for the fleas. Can we pray? Father, we thank you for the amazing gifts that we've been given, the treasures that are ours in Christ. Lord, there are so many things that we have to be thankful for. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to have eyes that see through that lens of gratitude, to have hearts that are thankful to you for the many, many ways in which you bless us. But Lord, we also pray that you would help us to be grateful and thankful and generous people who also honour those around us who bless us as well. Father, we just pray this morning that you would help to maybe pull us up in those times when we're tempted to focus on our lack or the things that we want to add, and Lord, to instead to be focused on what we already have and what we've been blessed with. Father, help us in this. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear your Spirit as you prompt our hearts and speak to us. Lord, let us be thankful even for the fleas, even for the burdens, even for the things that at times are annoyances, God, to see the blessings that are actually underlying those things and the way that you even use those things to bring blessings into our life because you love us, because you pour out your favor on us and you love to bless us. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.